has fire safety evolved enough that something like this kind of fire would be impossible?
I think today, probably yes, because fire companies are a lot more sophisticated. The equipment can handle much taller building. Of course, you know, not real, you know, 100-story buildings. You've got new techniques that weren't around in 1904. You've got much better communication. So I think by and large it is, but you know, we see what was the look what we saw up in New York after the Superstorm Sandy. Remember in Brooklyn, there was the classic Baltimore fire all over again. It got rolling and the wind just blew right on through that entire neighborhood. So by and large, yes, it's better, but you can still have things like that happening today.
Especially with the wind.
Yeah, especially with the
nature.
Wind.
You mentioned the banks. What about the insurance companies?
Insurance companies, of course, they had to pay off after the fire. Just about everyone did, although several went under. Baltimore's most famous fire insurance company is a company called Baltimore Equitable Society. They've been around since 1794. Listeners are probably familiar if they drive around town and see little plaques on the fronts of houses with the clasp hands. They were two blocks west of the fire. They were at the corner of Utah and Fayette Streets. So they weren't in the fire district, but close. So the Tuesday after the fire, the story goes, they brought in their people and they gave this one gentleman, who apparently was one of their best assessors, a pencil, a pad, and a list of addresses, sent him into the fire district to make notes so they could come back and estimate, you know, what do you think we got to lay out in terms of damage? And this guy was really pretty good because he estimated about $2 million, and in the end, Baltimore Equitable paid out $1.8 million, but they paid every dime of every policy.
The economy of Baltimore must have been doing pretty well in those days to do the rebuilding.
Yeah. Baltimore was a booming town in 1900. We were a port, we're a transportation center, we're a manufacturing center. We're the sixth biggest city in the country. And the rebuilding is amazing because the fire is February of 1904. And by February of 1907, you wouldn't even have known there had been a fire in downtown Baltimore. I have a number of postcards that from 1907 that show areas of downtown Baltimore that were totally wiped out in the fire, and you can't even tell that there had been a blaze in Baltimore. One of the other great stories of the fire, going back to the corner of Baltimore and Calvert Streets, that ended up being the hottest corner of the fire because there were four high-rise buildings, Continental Trust being one of them, on or near that corner. And all those buildings were blazing by midnight Sunday night. But on the southwest corner is a little one-and-a-half-story building that many of your listeners will be familiar with, was the old Alex Brown building, just a little tiny building on the corner. That building on the hottest corner of the fire, temperatures they estimate around 2,000 degrees, survived the fire intact. Because what had happened was when the skyscrapers got going, there was such an updraft of heat that the fire jumped right over Alex Brown's building. So Tuesday after the fire, the people at Alex Brown could come back to work like nothing had happened over the weekend, yet everything around them was totally burned. Now, the building itself suffered some heat damage, and they never repaired it. So if you go to it's the old Alex Brown building today, I think it's Capital One Bank is in there, and you look at the front of the building on the right, there's cracks in the stone, and Alex Brown decided to leave it as is. And there's a little plaque there that tells you this is damage from the Great Baltimore Fire of 1904. And that's the only place you can put your hands on real fire damage from the blaze.